Welcome to Pete's Property Podcast, brought to you by Buyers Buyers and hosted by Pete Wargent, buyer's agent, finance and real estate expert, and all-round property guru, plus published author. Join Pete for 30 minutes as he chats all things property with a new guest each week. Learn practical tips from the movers and shakers in the property industry and well-known personalities sharing their property journeys.
G'day, welcome to this week's episode. I'm delighted to be joined this week by Jonathan Giles, AFL star, originally an Adelaide boy. G'day, Joffa. Good to have you on the show.
G'day, Pete. Thanks for having me. I'm not sure if I was an AFL star, so you've introduced me nicely there, but I play footy in the back, so thank you.
Mate, I've been to watch you at the Gabba in front of a big crowd there and seen you kicking goals in the flesh, so anyone who can do that is a star in my book. Interested to know, was AFL, I know you grew up in the Barossa in South Australia, is AFL something you always wanted to do, or was it something that came to you as you grew up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Kapunda in the Barossa Valley, and always loved playing any sport I could, you know, cricket, basketball, tennis, and obviously footy. Always wanted to play AFL and make the AFL, but, you know, it was always a dream, and maybe I never thought that was possible, so I always loved playing all my sports, and with football, I just focused a bit more on my football, and I'd sort of got into the teams and the squads. Yeah, fortunately, I got drafted to Port Adelaide at 17. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like yourself, I grew up playing all of the sports, the crickets and the basketballs, but I played rugby at school and I was 6 feet tall. And back in those days, people say, oh, you know, that's a tall person to play scrum half and stuff. But then, you know, when we've caught up for coffee, it's a whole different dimension these days. You're, what, 6'7" and 100 kgs in your socks. So it's just, obviously the physical advantage is pretty interesting. I know when I've seen you play, it's, gee whiz, it's a tough sport that you guys put yourselves through season in, season out.
I think I was wearing my high heels that day I met you. So 6'7" and a couple of inches, but it's a great sport. I love it. It is a tough sport. I mean, rugby's a tough sport. I mean, I guess most sports are pretty tough. But yeah, AFL is very physically demanding on the body. Also, the other side of the game is mentally demanding as well, which they're starting to sort of focus a bit more on now. But yeah, physically, I was beat up during my footy days, and I still feel it a little bit now, that the aches and the pains in the joints post-footy. But yeah, that's all part of, I guess, the game and playing it. But it was great fun. You probably are worth it in the end, but you probably got sore joints like most athletes do post their career.
Yeah, it's interesting because we didn't really get AFL where I grew up in England. We saw the highlights of it on TV. It just looked like a rough sport. But then we also used to watch the rugby league. And you see a lot of these guys, you know, their entire first grade career might comprise, you know, 15 or 20 games. And even then they pick up concussion and injuries and stuff. So did you ever have that in mind, that the duration of a football career might not be particularly long? Because as you said, the demands on the body can be phenomenal.
I'm not sure the average is right now, but it used to be the average career of an AFL footballer was about 2 or 3 years, and I'm not sure what the gains were. So you get some guys that, you know, might be in the system for a year, or they might be in the system, you know, some guys up 10 plus years. So I was fortunate enough to be in 10 or 11 years, but it did probably not younger in my career. I never thought about injuries in that form, about long-term and post-footy. It was all about, yeah, just play footy and I'll play as much as I can, and I'll take the bruises and the knocks as I go. When I had a knee injury about 25, I think it was, or 24, and the doctor sort of said to me, oh, this is a bit of a degenerative knee issue that you've got here now. It's you're going to have arthritis when you're older. You really need to manage this during your footy career. And so for me, that was, when you said during footy career, during my life. So for me, it was more, yeah, I'll manage it during my footy career. And you had all the experts and medical department around you, so you could really focus in on it. I guess the biggest challenge is post-career, when all of a sudden you're full-time work in another capacity, and you still have the people around you, but it's not your full-time job, so you've got other priorities. So the injuries that I do have, I try to keep fit and stay strong, because that's really important for the body and the mind. But yeah, it definitely was mindful towards the back end of my career, when the doctors were sort of telling me a bit more that your knee's getting worse, and you've got to be mindful of that post-football, that these are the repercussions of you keep playing and all that. And in the end, I retired with the knee injury, but I was 30 or 31 at the time that I retired. So I got the most out of my body, I thought. And yeah, it's a brutal industry. So you, you get the knocks. But I think I was quite fortunate with my injuries. I didn't have any major ones where like an ACL or concussions.
Yeah, dodgy knees is one thing we've got in common. I ran the Sydney Marathon a few years ago and one was enough because I can still feel it today, and that was about 15 years ago. So it's one of those types of injuries that, especially if it's degenerative, doesn't go away. So I guess our paths first crossed when I started reading about you cropping up in property magazines and property interviews. And I'm interested to know, certainly think back to my younger years, and I was, you know, mainly definitely interested in sport, not to your level, of course, but you know, but when I was younger, I was mainly interested in, you know, partying and drinking like a lot of young poms. But how did you even get into your head the idea of taking care of your financial future and getting involved in property? Because there's not that many people who've got the nous to actually think that far ahead. So how did you get interested in property and investing in the first place?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it was when I was probably, about 23 when obviously I was playing football, and my manager at the time said, hey, Geoff, you should have a look at investing in your money and maybe look at buying yourself a house. And I think he sort of mentioned, look at maybe buying your house that you might want to live in, or, you know, after a time that you might have a house that you can pay off during your footy career. And that was probably the first time I thought about, oh, yeah, you know, maybe I should look into buying a house or looking at property as an investment. And then as I did, I like to research anything that I do. So I went down a big rabbit hole about this whole new world to me of property, and not just, I guess, buying a house to live in or to have as a home and that's all you do. I really looked at it as a bit of a long-term goal that, hey, property could open up avenues to grow your wealth and to invest. And if you can do it right and do it smartly and buy in the right areas, you can really build your long-term wealth. So I sort of started reading lots of different books and listening to lots of podcasts. And I think one of my early books was Michael Yardney's book, which I really enjoyed. And he had a couple of them, so I read them. And then came across your books, and I think you've got, well, four of them that I've read now, which have progressed. And I really enjoyed those because they were property, but they also spoke about shares and more overall holistic sort of
Oh, thanks for thanks for the plug. The check will be in the post over to you in Melbourne. So thanks for that. Yeah, actually, I also read Michael Yardney's book as well because I, as you know, came from a British background. So I had probably less understanding of Australian property and the dynamics and demographics in Australia. So I found that was really nicely laid out and well-structured book just to give you the, you know, the big picture of why you can invest in property and what you can do over the long term. Is there a reason you gravitated towards property over shares, or it was just something that came naturally?
One of the reasons why I probably was looking at property more is that the power of leverage, and you can use the bank's money to leverage your money. And obviously, if you buy a good asset, you can leverage and you do quite well. But if you buy a bad asset, obviously it works worse because you're leveraged against it. But Michael Yardney's book just planted a bit of a seed on how he sort of did it, or how his plan was, and then started reading other things with property. And Peter Kluzos in South Australia is a local, so I read his stuff and I reached out to him and got to know him a lot in my early days, which was really helpful. And then, well, there's lots of different commentators and they all have their different styles of investing. You know, there's Margaret Lomas, and I remember watching her shows on the telly, and I think it's Chris Gray as well. And each has their different style. And for me, there was no one that I thought that was, oh, that's 100% right, or no, that's 100% wrong. Everyone had where they did their success. And I tried to pick up little bits of things from each person and do what was best for me. And yeah, just trying to get as much information as I could about property and shares. And I think for me, yeah, property just excited me a bit more in terms of that was the way I thought I could build my wealth. And that's how I wanted to build my wealth to start with anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you've chosen some excellent mentors there. So there's a little list of names there for people interested in finding out more about property. Peter Kalizos, I think he was also a South Australia boy, so some good local knowledge for you. Margaret Lomas, Chris Gray and Michael Yardney, all very experienced people in the industry to learn from. Yeah, it's been an interesting time for Adelaide. There was the mining boom years and some quieter years, but it looks to me like the rental market in particular down there is getting extraordinarily tight because they haven't gone sort of overbuilding units quite so much as some of the other cities. So I think hopefully some really good days ahead for Adelaide. It's an interesting thing when it comes to people with a sporting career. I was recently reading a book by a guy in England. He's an Irish fellow, Keith Gillespie, who played for Manchester United and Newcastle and other clubs. And he was detailing how he basically burned through about £12 million of salary through his career, mainly through a sort of gambling and partying and also some sort of bad investing advice. But I suppose the interesting thing that he highlights is how it's different. You know, in a normal career, you kind of expect your salary to start off very low and then it might increase gradually through the course of your career. Whereas with a sporting career, your best earning years can sometimes be when you're quite young, and then things can change as you move towards retirement. And I guess that's why you see this same story repeated over and over. I've read some amazing stats in things like the baseball stars in the US, and they earn unbelievable money through their careers, and yet a staggering percentage at the end up with nothing or bankrupt, because I suppose in the end there's more money going out than coming in. So obviously you've done well to think ahead to beyond the AFL career. So talk to us a little bit about your property investing strategy that you've used since you got into property.
My first sort of investment sort of was just to look in my, as I say, my own backyard, and that was to look in SA, because it was as much as it looking as an investment point of view, but also in the back of my head, I was like, oh, one day I might return back to Adelaide and I might live there. So it could also be potentially to live there long term, which is probably not a good way to look at it, because you either should be buying, you know, to invest and that's the way you do it, or you want to buy your family home. So I started to look at properties that were sort of in Adelaide, and from there my philosophy has sort of been, and much the norm what everyone else or a lot of people would do, is to buy good, strong properties within that inner ring of capital cities, you know, within that 5 to 10 kilometres, try to buy single dwelling units with a bit of land, and then properties that were older in nature, so there was ability to use renovations, or it was a bigger block to develop it and use ways to create equity or create growth or manufacture your growth, as well as hopefully the market doing its work as well in the background. So I've always tried to buy a property where I could see that I could add value, whether that was a little renovation, a little subdivision, or hammerhead or something like that. Just room that you could improve your equity and manufacture some of that growth.
Do you want to save on buyer's agent fees? You could save thousands with Buyer's Buyers. As Australia's most extensive network of buyer's agents, we can lock in highly competitive prices. Plus, our national network of buyer's agents are some of the best in the business. So get the Buyer's Buyers advantage and talk to us today. Call 1-800-975-051 or visit buyersbuyers.com.au.
Did I read somewhere that you bought one of your properties without seeing it? Maybe you sent a family member or your sister over to inspect for you, is it?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to people thinking of going down that track? The reason I ask is at the time of speaking, we've got Sydney in a hard lockdown, Melbourne's in a lockdown, and you can't even travel to Western Australia. It's like a gilded cage now. So what would you suggest to people who are thinking of going down that route?
Yeah, you've got a good memory, Pete. I bought in Adelaide.
Only for property, not for a lot of others.
I bought in the inner west of Adelaide, and I did buy that one unseen. I was very familiar with the area. Adelaide's a pretty small city, so it doesn't take you long to get to know Adelaide well. But yeah, this property was an older house. It was actually built 1913, this one was built, so it was quite old. I spoke to the real estate agent a bit, and actually it was going to auction, and I was living in Sydney at the time, so I couldn't make the auction and I couldn't actually see the property live. I've been looking around the areas a lot, and I've been doing a lot of research, and it was an area that I'd been looking at for a while, and looking at the zoning of this particular area, and it ticked all those boxes in terms of fundamentally it was a good property with a good size property. I think it was 860 square metres, and there was potential to either subdivide or do a hammerhead on it. And it was an older property, so it had lots of potential to renovate. So it ticked a lot of boxes. So I know I wanted to have a crack at it, but obviously couldn't get back to the auction. So I actually sent my sister. I don't think she'd really ever been to an auction before and hadn't bid on one before. So I was able to go on the phone, luckily, while she was while she was bidding on it, and I was sort of just giving her the instructions of what to bid and that, and I was successful. But I did buy that one unseen. I would recommend, yeah, that if you do all your due diligences and you do your checks, then I'd probably recommend that you actually get someone to go through the property that actually sort of knows what they're looking for, whether it, you know, you get your building inspection done, or if you've got a local tradie that you can send there so that they, it's a lot different. The pictures that you see or the video tours that you might do, they might not show the little cracks or the crevices where you need to watch out for, or you might need to spend money on. But especially with all these lockdowns, I guess it's going to force investors or people that will have to look at property, and maybe it will be unseen, but you'd want to have someone trust close to you to have a look at the property, and it ticks all your boxes that you fundamentally buy for.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know we were just chatting before we came on, and being based in Melbourne, you've done a couple of hundred days in lockdown now, so you should be an expert in how to life and those conditions, although in saying I've had our fair share where I've been as well. So in terms of what comes next and what you've been doing post AFL career. So you mentioned before we started recording that you're now in the construction industry and doing some construction management. Are there any skills there that you're picking up that you can translate into your own personal property investing journey as well?
Yeah, so I work for a commercial construction company. So it's we don't really deal with the residential side or in terms of the stuff that I've been investing in, but there's lots of crossover with skills that investing and sort of dealing with residential properties. We deal with a lot of tradies every day, and we obviously see a lot of problems with buildings and defects and what the costs are. And we obviously get a lot of quotes and pricing in from subbies and how they price things up and how you can fix things and the quality. So I think it's helped a lot in terms of looking out for things in properties that you might see, okay, well, that house might be quite old, or it's got some cracks, or it looks this way. You pick up on some of the expenses or some of the areas that might cost you, and you get a good idea of what that might cost you to fix those things. So it sort of helps manage costs and to deal with tradies and to look out for things that I wasn't aware of before I started working heavily in construction.
Yeah, some pretty good advice there. I think you mentioned before, always do due diligence, because the pictures they put on online on domain or realestate.com will usually show the property in its best aspect, but you've got to think about potential future costs, the sort of expensive stuff we tend to see as buyer's agents. Issues related to the roof can be pretty expensive, sometimes the structural issues. Another big one, especially in Queensland, is termites. You know, if you've got live white ant activity, that can be pretty costly down the track. So I think, as you said, it pays to get a building and pest inspector to go through before making an offer on a property, because it's a bit of a cost up front, but it can save you in the long term. And I was just thinking, if you were my project manager on a construction site, I'd definitely do what I was told, because you're a big boy. So I think you're probably in the right kind of role for you. Before we wrap it up, Jofra, I'm interested to know, do you ever get approached by other sports players or sports stars about doing something similar? And or if not, what kind of advice might you have for young people who've got a sporting career but they're interested in getting into property? Because it's an all too common story that people have a high-flying sports career, but then their earning capacity drops off later. So do you have any advice for people in that position?
Yeah, there's a few guys that when I was playing football that their interests were property and investing and all those sort of things. So I still keep in contact with a lot of those guys who are still investing or still got properties, and we talk about, just sort of, we share ideas or share where we're at with those things. But I think definitely and what you've touched on a couple of times with athletes is that you do have a capacity to earn above average money than what you would as a 18-year-old or a 20-year-old. But it is a limited time that you earn that money, and you never know when your career is going to end, whether it ends, you know, within a year or you have 10 years, but inevitably it does end. So one day it will end, and you'll stop earning the money from the athlete or the sporting career, and you'll probably get another job somewhere, and you probably have to start from scratch again. The advice is to definitely educate yourself while you're playing and learn where to invest your money. And, you know, everyone's going to be different, and that people might want to invest in shares, and they might invest in property or different avenues of where they want to invest. But my advice would definitely be to educate yourself and surround yourself with the right people, you know, build a team around you, have good mentors around you and good professionals, i.e. if you don't know much about property and you should talk to buyer's agents or read about it, or there's so many podcasts now about property, and just learn about it. And then when you've educated yourself enough and you've got a good team with, you know, good tax agents and advisors that can, mortgage brokers, all that, that can actually help you set yourself up to make a purchase or to invest in shares or however it is, and be able to do it with those people around you. And definitely to invest your money while you can, and to try to make it work for you as best as you can.
Yeah, good advice. And as you said, have a good team and take a long-term view. I'm a big fan of Adelaide as a city. I think I must have told you when we caught up, I did used to work in the Adelaide Hills. This is about a million years ago, back in my mining days. I tend to go down every 4 years for the Ashes. My old man comes over from England, and yeah, it's a beautiful city to spend time in. And we get out to Harndorf, and the old man has a glass of wine, so he's a big fan of the city of churches as well. In terms of future property investing, is the plan to spread your investments around? Because I have a feeling that Adelaide's probably seen some very nice capital growth over the past year or two. So hopefully a bit of equity there for you to tap into. But is the plan down the track to diversify and spread your investments around the country?
Adelaide's a solid state where it seems to just be a stable growth that you get. You don't seem to get your booms like a Melbourne or a Sydney or Perth back in the mining boom, where you get a big boom. But you normally don't see it going bust either. It normally grows along fairly steadily. Going forward, I mean, I want to keep investing, but keep divesting into different areas. And, you know, that's looking at different states and then looking at different types of property. Obviously, I've been involved with residential, but there's also commercial property as well that is a completely different ballgame to residential. So at the moment, I'm trying to educate myself and listen to podcasts, read books about that at the moment to sort of see if that's my next step or if I keep going down the residential track. And, you know, I listen to your podcasts, you know, to do with the shares and self-managed super funds and sort of setting yourself up long-term in that regard and creating sort of that passive cash flow. So there's lots of things out there that I'm always reading. I'm always listening to podcasts every chance I get, just to keep working out what's the best strategy for me going forward and how I can achieve it.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's always more to learn in property and taking control of your own finances and not just outsourcing it all. So, yeah, and it's, as you said, it's a constantly moving field, so there's always more you can tune into and listen to. So that's absolutely brilliant advice. Thanks, Joffa. And normally I'd say look forward to catching up for a coffee, but the way things are going, it might be 2024. So I normally get down to Melbourne every few months, but it's been over a year now. Hopefully sometime in this millennium I'll be able to get down to Melbourne and we can catch up for a property chat and a coffee.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for listening to Pete's Property Podcast, powered by Buyers Buyers. Don't forget to subscribe and join us next time as Pete chats all things property with a new guest. And just a reminder that the information provided in this podcast is general advice only and doesn't take into account your personal financial situation or needs. You should always consult a licensed professional to discuss your individual personal circumstances.